You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation and in chapter 12. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. Here we are. So help us, give us understanding, a God, that we might have the benefit of understanding as we go forward. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the tribulation coming up, the pressure, the Antichrist and all of that. And in the process, chapter 12, the believers that are living then, you'll note chapter 12, not all of them, but many, chapter 12, verse 11. We have to read verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So they were in the middle of it. They were getting clobbered, but they were wonderfully, wonderfully equipped to handle getting beat up. They were getting all beat up, but it was all right. They were winning. When our Lord was crucified, he was getting all beat up, but he was always winning. Always winning. You would see the crown of thorns and being whipped and bloody to the front, the back, the head, but he was winning. Now, chapter 13. In chapter 13, the Antichrist is reigning, and in the process, and in picking up, if I can, in verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and languages, tongues, languages, and nations. So the Antichrist seeking to have a worldwide dominion. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain before from the foundation of the world. The little word from, out from, you come out from, you went out of your house, you're in the house, and you go out of your house. That's the little preposition, out from the founding of the world. God, before anything, Christ died on the cross. In fact, even before anything is created, and God the Father, and God the Son, that's what it was all set. Christ was going to die, and he was going to die to save every human being that he created. Now, so as time goes on, chapter 13 here we're looking at, the Antichrist goes across and wins and gains control. They can't buy or sell, et cetera, et cetera. And in the process, he makes war with the saints. But like in chapter 12, you can go and kill them. They loved not their life unto death. It was not important to them. Now hang on to that. So out from the foundation of the world, God had a plan all set, all in order to work out. Now, over to Job, Job, and chapter 38. And in Job, in chapter 38. Now this is, we got the Antichrist at the end. Now we're going to go back before Abraham. Now, and here's Job. And Job's going through a terrible time. At this point in his life, he's lost everything except his wife. Family, friends, business, animals, servants, his health from head to toe. Now Job is there going through this. He's going through it. Now Job, God has a wonderful plan from the foundation of the earth to save all humans. Now, so here's Job. And Job, looking to get, Job trusts God, no question. Now God wants Job to have a appreciation, a good, healthy appreciation for what God does and how he does it, when he does it. So therefore, chapter 38, God gives Job a test of all the questions that he can't answer. He gives him an exam. Job, now what do you know about all of this? Here you are trying to figure out how come you're where you're at, how come what's going on in the world? And I'm going to give you a little quiz. So I want you to go, and thus chapter 38, going in the light of context, verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou canst, hast understanding. And then he has all his questions. Now, Job, were you there when I put the earth out in space and I had everything in order? Christ is going to go, and I have the name of every human being ever that I'm going to create. And I know of all the human beings that I wanted to save. I have a list. I know who I want to save all. 1 Timothy 2. I want to save everybody, but everybody doesn't want to get saved. So I have a book, a record. I know everyone that will get saved because I'm all-knowing, and therefore I know everybody who's going to believe. I know that. So Job, were you there when I did all these things? You weren't even there. And all these things are happening to your life, Job, in your life. But do you know what I was doing and how and why I was doing it? So therefore, that leads us into back over to Joshua. And in the process, if we can, here, remember now, think of the Gospel of John at 129. John the Baptist says, he points out, behold the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, so in the process, Isaiah, if you can, just to lock that in better, Isaiah, and picking up in chapter 6, chapter 9 better. Isaiah in chapter 9. And you remember, our Lord, when he's born in Bethlehem of Judea, is going to do a wonderful thing. But who is that little babe born in Bethlehem of Judea? Verse chapter 9, Isaiah, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The perfect humanity of Christ, God prepares a body, and he indwells that body. And and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. He's God Almighty, born. Now, having said that, God, that's why there's a Book of Life. That's why in Revelation 12, they love not their life unto death. They have that comfortable confidence as they go forward, as they do that. And so, here's Job, and here's Isaiah, and here's Christ born, and God, who's in all the God, who's the creator, over to Isaiah and chapter 46. Isaiah and 46. And you'll remember, just locking it in about God. What do we know about God's wonderful person? Chapter 46, and in verse 9. 46 and in verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, old times, the things that are not yet done, but they will be, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I'm going to do everything I have in mind before anything is created. It's all in my mind. The painting, as it were, is all painted, even though it has to be painted. It's all done before I even create it. I have it in my mind. Over to Isaiah 55. And you add to that so that it helps us. In Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Reason, God, help us. 4, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You don't think like I do. You have no idea what I'm doing. That's why Job was given the test, 100 questions or whatever, a big long test that he flunks. And God wanted him to understand that. Job, you're trying to figure out things on earth, but you have to understand you're limited. I have all the pieces. I know what's going to happen and why. You'll have to go with it and work through it. Therefore, Isaiah and 55, 4, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 4, as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So, as all I do all these things, never forget, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereof I sent it. I have a wonderful plan. I'm going to work out the plan. That's what I'm doing. Now, the world's doing what it's doing, trying to do what it's doing, what it does. But I'm going to move it all down the move it in historically to outwork the plan. The devil has a plan. I'm letting him outwork the devil. The devil's going to outwork his plan. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. Believers, people that don't believe. Believe and don't believe. World, saved, unsaved, down the corridor of time. Now, that's all going to work out. I know. In the book of the living, I have all of this done. So therefore, as it all works itself out, I am going to have my word outworked in every way, shape, or form. So keep that in mind when you're going through whatever and you are trying to understand whatever. Understand that my thoughts and my ways look to me. My ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens, than yours. So when you're trying to solve everything and work out everything, remember who I am. Now hang on, because we titled A Victory Beyond Measure. Why? God has it all. Now, hang on to that if you can, and in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when I give my word and tell you my word, believe my word, because that's how it's going to go. Now, having said that, back to the thinking of Joshua, and here's Joshua, and here the people are, and we are just been refreshing our mind about the Israel is going to go, and we're trying to remember now why they're so successful in battle, in their fight, in the war, taking over Palestine. So, in the process of that, God, you're going to go and do what you do. So, back over to see that a little again. Open, you see it, lock it in, Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, you already know it, Joshua chapter 1, picking up if I may. And you'll remember, in Joshua chapter 1, God, what do we got? God has given a command to Joshua and to the people, and you know it. Now the point is, God's telling them what has already, how it's all going to go. And so therefore, all the opposition is there. But just understand what I told you. This is what you're going to do. Think of what we shared this morning a little bit, that if you have faith in God, ask what you will, and you can move the mountain. And there's a mountain, any obstacle, anything that's in the way of my will to be outworked in your life will never stand in the way of what I want for you. I have a wonderful plan for you. And there's no one anywhere, including the devil himself, that can stop that. You need to abide in me as I do it. And therefore, you'll be able to ask what you will, and God will do. Every obstacle will be removed. God wants you to count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of testing. To rejoice always in the Lord. Always. But, always. Look to God. Why aren't you rejoicing? Why aren't you joyful? Why aren't you praying without ceasing? Why do you lose the relationship to God? You don't have to. You don't have to lose that. Move that. You look to me, said God, and I'll move that obstacle, that thing in your brain that you got in the way. Look to me to get past it and through it now. So here, and thus in chapter 1 of Joshua, for time's sake and all, verse 2, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, to all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Wow! And now to lock that in, It was a sure thing. It was a sure thing. That when they crossed the Jordan, that was God's time, God's place for them. And no matter how much the chariots and the giants and everything's there, it doesn't matter. God, that's what God's going to do for his honor and his glory. And therefore, God, did you say that? You just said it to Joshua. Did you say it earlier? Yes. Over, if you would, over, if you would, please, in Joshua, go over in, picking up if I can, in chapter, I forget what it is. Anyway, in the process, I'm going to go, we're going to look to God to go and do what he does, the way he does it, and God's going to work it all out in his wonderful way. So God is going to go and do what he does, always as he does. So therefore, to outwork. Therefore, Daniel, they're coming, just have to wait. Daniel, Deuteronomy, when I come back earlier, Deuteronomy and chapter 11. And Deuteronomy in chapter 11, picking up, if I may. Because the encouragement was given over and over by Moses so that they would not be discouraged. Chapter Deuteronomy 11, picking up, please, in verse 22. 11, 22, Deuteronomy. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. In other words, you guys are just a little pipsqueak. But you're gonna beat big chariots and giants and armies. You're gonna win. You're gonna overcome. You say it can. Yes, it can. It's God's will, God's plan. God is in charge of the picture and how it goes. So you don't want to go. Say, the odds are against me. That's true. You're in a world of darkness, and you're just a little believer in an unbelieving world all around you. But God said, if you believe me, I'm going to outwork my wonderful plan for your life. Now, so chapter 11, sliding verse 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before thee, and you shall possess a greater nation and mightier than thou yourself. Verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness in Lebanon unto the great river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, Mediterranean, shall be your coast. In other words, God confirms, you're going to go every place that the sole of your foot, wherever you walk, I have given that to you. Who can take it away? No one can take it away. You can lose it by your unbelief, and then they will. But no one can take it. God gave it to them. God gave them their lot, their land. God gave them the victory. They already had it. It didn't matter about anything. God just did it. In his most wonderful, wonderful way, in his wonderful, wonderful time. So therefore, looking to God to outwork, back over to Numbers. Numbers, if I can, chapter 13. Now remember Joshua and Caleb, but remember it in particular, in the light of what we're looking at. Here, chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of, of Canaan, which I give. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given it to you, which I give. The children of Israel, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one, a ruler among them. So you're going to pick 12 men, and they're going to go and search the land for a whole month. You're going to go up there, down for a number of days, 40 days or whatever. And chapter 13, when they come back, they remember what they saw. They saw the giants in verse 27, and 27, chapter 13, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey and the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong, be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled high up to heaven, so big, and every great and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, giants, etc. Now, what do you do when you face that? Well, if you're following God and following Moses is looking to God, and Joshua and Caleb are with Moses, and they're looking to God. So for 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb, they're with Moses, same heart, same mind, going the same direction. They're following God, as you know, close, whatever God's doing and not doing, they're going to trust him. Therefore, chapter 13, they had what? Verse 30. And Caleb, remember they said the giants. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. What was the difference? Caleb was looking at God. He wasn't looking at the giants. He was looking that God gave the land. God gave it to them. This is 38 years before they actually get it. Because all they had to do is listen to God. And the chariots are the same. The giants are the same. The walled cities are the same. But all we had to do was listen to God and have what he has in mind. We are going to be able to conquer, to be overcomers. So, and you know in chapter 14, they are all discouraged. They want to go back to Egypt. Chapter 14, verse 4, in the light of the context. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt, unto Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt. Back to Egypt. Well, I tell you what, the Red Sea isn't going to open for them. They want to go back. They'll never get across the Red Sea. God opened it to get into his will, but he won't open it for you to get back in the wrong direction. He closed it. You can't get back. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, in chapter 14, now listen to them again. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of which were of them that researched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, and children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through is to search it, is an exceedingly good land, if the Lord delight in us, if it's God's will in our life. And we want God's will. If we ask, we'll receive. We're looking to God. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only don't louse it up. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Here's two men that see God has a wonderful plan. The obstacles, the opponents, everything that's there and may be impossible disappears, because that's what God wants. So in God's will, listen to it and honor it. Honor God's word. My word, like the showers, the snow, the rain, will be just what it's supposed to be. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Now you'll learn to trust me so that it hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, over in the light of it with all of time, over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Now we got Joshua, and they go forward. They are to be victorious. Not a question. Are they going to be victorious? Yes, they is. They certainly are. They're going to be victorious. Absolutely. Wonderfully victorious, as we shared earlier. Awesomely victorious. That's right. Against all the stuff that you said you couldn't do 38 years ago, you can do it. You bet your boots you can do it, if it's in God's will. Now, so therefore, 2 Corinthians, if I can, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, picking up in thought, and may I go to that which you know. You know, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, Christ died on the cross to save you and us, each one. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined where? In your heart. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, to understand God's awesome, wonderful purpose in saving you, that you would know him and honor him. In the face of Jesus Christ, the Lord, you receive the Lord as your Savior, and you become a child of God. Verse 7, so don't get all huffy, but we have this awesome relationship to God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of dust like we shared, that the soles of your feet, every place that the sole of your foot and you wear your shoes, we did all these things a little bit. You wear them, you're going to go and possess the land. That's what you're going to do. And in the process, you're dust. So you humbled, you remember, the ground is cursed. Genesis chapter 3, so that what? You remember. Bugs, birds, weeds, everything. Their whole system is corrupt because of you. Your pain, your headache, your heartache, every way and every form has its difficulties. Government, religions, all of it's there in its struggle to try to solve everything because God is left out of the picture. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the purpose. What's the purpose? What's the reason? Why did you put us in vessels of dust? That the excellency over and above and beyond, the excellency of the power of the dynamo, may be of God and not of us. The overabounding, beyond measure, victory beyond measure, exceeding beyond measure. In other words, there's no way to measure. How much God? How big God? There is no measurement. There is no ruler. There is no yardstick. And the way to get that, just think of them trying to figure out when they do this galaxies, you know, And they say this galaxy is only 3,008 light years away. Let alone, we don't know. We're trying to figure everything. It's beyond measure. And God told them that. You'll never measure the universe. You'll never do it. You can't do it. I didn't do it. It's beyond measure. God said, listen, what I'm doing is beyond human thinking. My ways and my thoughts are higher. What I'm going to do, because I'm God, I'm going to go and do wonderful things beyond measure. We loved, back to Revelation 12, the believers, we loved not our life unto death. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue anymore. No, we were freed. God, you're doing what you're doing. Job, do you understand? And Job said, chapter 42, I am humbled, and I humble myself in dust and ashes, God, that I even argued with you of why you did this to me. I'm sorry, God, you see. Forgive me. Yeah. Now, so therefore, God, you're going to outwork it in a most wonderful way, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, back over to second. Well, you're in 2 Corinthians. We'll have to stay there for time's sake. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 2. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, if I may. And in fact, I think we'll do it a little differently. Yeah, well, chapter 2 is fine. Chapter 2, and you catch it, verse 12. Remember, this gives a whole new section as you're reading 2 Corinthians. He's tried to help them, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm going to tell you, there's a wonderful, wonderful victory that's beyond any measurement. It's a wonderful way to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 2 and 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit because I was bound. I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. In other words, I'm trying to figure everything out, and Paul says, listen, now what? I'm trying to make it, I got a journey, I'm trying to do the job. Verse 14, but thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God, which always, 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 always causes us to triumph, to be a victor, to win, to be triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of the knowledge of his knowledge by us in every place. So God, you're going to go and you're going to bring me there in due season, in due time. You're going to bring me always. I may end up getting stoned. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 and 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. How much trouble? That we were pressed out of measure. Beyond measure. Uh-huh. In other words, we had no more resources. But God had resources. We had no resources. In fact, let me finish it. For above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. Our resources, we had no answer. We had nothing we could grab and fix it. But God is able to go and do beyond any measure, to do what he has to do. And thus, Thus, in verse 9, and thus we had the answer, the sentence, the answer of death in ourselves. So we die. We love not their lives unto death. They didn't care. It doesn't matter. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death? He doth deliver us, and doth deliver us, and in which we trust that he will yet deliver us. In other words, we're going to look to God, we're going to triumph in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what we're going to do. And God, you're going to go and give us the victory. That's right. That's right. You're going to look to me, and I'm going to, when you say you can't, don't tell me. That's why God waited for Abraham 25 years till he hit 100 before he had Isaac. Waited so that Isaac, so that Abraham could never say, I did it. And Sarah can never say, we did it. No, no, God did it. And you guys know it. Everyone knows it, that God did it. So God, you're going to do what you're going to do. And when you want to do it, you wait for us to quit so that you can be God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. I'm waiting, God, in this vessel of dust for you to want to do exceeding above all that I ask or think. The outworking of your will in your way, in your time, in my life, in our life. And here we are, God. And God, take the shoes off your feet, for every place that you walk, I've given it to you. But, no buts, no buts. It's victory beyond measure, beyond your understanding. I'm going to work it all out. That was my plan before the foundation of the earth. That's why Christ, I had my son, God said, the Father said, my son is going to die in order to make it. It has to all come out in a wonderful way. And who's going to get all the credit? God, you are. You get all the credit for all that you're doing. I got to quit. Time's gone. You got the idea? At least we got a little to see it. That's what God wants. Beyond measure. Beyond measure. Yeah. That's what you're going to do. And that's what you're looking for. When you can't do and everything looks dark and dreary and dull and dim and discouraging, and then you look to God and you wait on God, and God does what he does. And no may no one ever see in your life. You look the same decrepit person rotting away. But in your heart, you have found the wonderful life in Christ that you're meant to enjoy. And no one can see it except you. And you have the peace of God that what? Passes all understanding. And you have it in here. No one else has it. No one can see it, but you do. My God, thou art a great God, an awesome God. Thank you very much. Our Father, we look to you with thanksgiving and help us understand. God, a little bit, inch by inch, we try to admonish and exercise our little heads and hearts to understand that which is beyond our knowledge, beyond our world, beyond everything. God, we're getting into your wonderful, wonderful will in a wonderful way to honor your awesome person. So God, help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.